hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Things were getting instilled in me for now. So I don't know what kind of relationship you had with your earthly father, or maybe your grandfather. Maybe you don't have a frame of reference, but I'm here to tell you. If it's the time where the sons of God begin to manifest, that it's the heart of God to be a father. You can't be a son unless you know the Father. You can't be a daughter unless you know the Father. And it's not the responsibility of the son to be a son. It's the responsibility of the father to be a father that draws you in to become a son and a daughter. Now, Steph, if you'll sing that song again, I just feel like it has a whole other meaning to me. I don't know about you all.
Almighty God, Lord of all creation.
Just close your eyes and just reflect.
Ancient of days, the Holy One. So many names you've given us to call.
As a father or as a parent, but thank God that we have a Heavenly Father that doesn't make mistakes, that's looking out for you in the midst of our mistakes.
Almighty God, Lord of all creation, Ancient of Days, the Holy Father.
the Lord telling us to envision. He gives you vision, and it's our opportunity to envision. Because the things that He's calling our hearts to walk into, sometimes our head has problems fitting. And He asks us to envision so that there can be an alignment between the mind and the heart. Envision where God's taking you to. I heard the Holy Spirit talk about during worship that there are two things that many of us struggle under, in this idea of being too big for your britches that you may have heard from your father, or to not walk around like you own the place that you may have heard from a father figure in your life. Both of those, the Holy Spirit out here inviting you to do both, to be too big for your britches and to walk around like you own the place. I hear Him saying, envision where I... Listen, those were challenges put forward to people that were assumed that they were operating under false pretenses. But He says that I've provided the way to walk where I've asked you to go. And so it's not false, it's truth that I'm speaking out of you when I say, go be bigger than your britches and walk like you own the place. Isaiah 54 tells you to enlarge your house. Before the blessing came, before the empowerment came, before walking it out completely, He said, enlarge your house. Extend your tent stakes. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying for us to do that today, even where you're sitting. I hear the Holy Spirit saying that some of you know that you're called to more than what you're living today. But the enemy always brings to your mind what you lack and what your past is and what you haven't done yet. Those things are irrelevant to the promise of God, because you're not the fulfiller of the promise. He is. He is. He is. So enlarge your house this morning, even when you don't have what it takes. Enlarge your house, because the Holy Spirit says you do. The Holy Spirit says, I have places for you to walk that you don't realize yet, but you own. You own. You own. And you have greater capacity to receive from me than you realize. Father, I ask for enlarged vision today. I ask, Father, not just for a general picture, but begin to show me the things that would provoke and challenge my heart about the destiny that you have for me. Let me begin to move in those things. Some of you have prophetic words and words of knowledge. Some of you have a healing gift that you haven't even used yet, but your heart has fully went there and your head won't allow you to act upon it. And those kinds of things the Lord is challenging this morning. Those kinds of things the Lord is challenging this morning. If you're standing in this place today feeling challenged, but not feeling like you can take a step right now, I'm talking to you. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. Step forward right now in the name of Jesus. Step forward right now in the name of Jesus. There's no time to waste, I hear the Lord. There's no time to waste. Amen.
I read this verse, I'm just going to read one verse, and I want to just, you guys can be seated after that, and I'm going to just start telling you a story. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, in Jesus' name, over the next few moments, just unpack this. You've already captured our hearts this morning. Our hearts are turned towards you. We're conflicted in our minds for some things, but our hearts are clear. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, to receive your word, to mature us, to grow us, to allow us to see you uninterrupted, unashamed, with great clarity, very descriptive. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. It says, Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend must make himself or show himself friendly. Now, a lot of times we hear that because we preach that in our redemptive relationships between people. In reality, that is true. We have to show ourselves friendly. No one wants to be friends with a mean person or a hateful person, right? But in reality, that scripture, it goes on to say that, you know, he lays his life down for his brother. The scripture is referring to Jesus. If we could get in our hearts and our minds that he is the initiator, he is the author, then then we can relax a little bit and rest knowing that he starts it. I can't become his friend unless he shows himself friendly to me. I no longer call you servants, he said. I call you friends. But it's up to Jesus to reveal himself to us that as a friend so that we could become a friend of his. Does that make sense? He's calling to correct me. I bet you. I bet that's the Lord. That's the Lord on that phone saying, no, that's the wrong verse. You weren't supposed to preach that today. Mm-hmm. So you have to become friendly, right? So we put a lot of our emphasis on us, that we initiate it, not realizing that it has to initiate with him. Besides, I want to say that Travis is in the back there. He's a police officer. Last week, he came. He's a friend of ours. He comes to the church here. Known him for a long time. Him and Ronnie have been friends. He used to attend the youth group. Incredible man of God. Great representation on the Huntington City Police Department. A great part of a great group of guys. Last week, he came for the first time knowing we were here, and he stood over there. And the worship team, I didn't tell him he was coming. So the worship team was singing, and they saw him come in. And Steph looked down at me, and her eyes got real big. And she thought, oh, my gosh, they're shutting us down. What did I say wrong? What did we do wrong? I got tickled. So I let him go for the longest time. I didn't tell him about Tuesday. But we're glad to have, if you see Travis there, he's not here as security. He's here as the kingdom, okay, representing it in the city. So great man of God, great family. Anyway, he has to initiate it. Well, a lot of times what we do is we put the onus on us. It's up to us to make this thing work in our favor, and we put so much pressure on ourselves with God, not recognizing that it's the Lord that initiates these things. Okay, if he don't reveal himself to you, how are you smart enough to know who he is if he don't show you? He's God. Think about it. He's God, and he gives you a portion of himself so you can see him in the measure of the relationship that we have with him in the season and maturity of life that we're in. Right. So when you see him and you read the scripture, you have to know that it's him that makes himself friendly. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's him that does that. Now, if he initiates it, then it has to become a confidence that we have in him that he is working all things together for our good, even when we can't understand it, because life is a journey. You just can't stop believing. Right? This thing is moving forward. And there's times in life when it hits you with circumstances and things that go up and those go down. Sometimes it's decisions we make on our own. Sometimes it's decisions we should have made but we didn't make, or our procrastination, whatever it might be. But we have to trust that if we're that much in control of everything we do, independent of him and he doesn't know how to work things out for our good, even our bad decisions, then really why do we need a God or a friend that can help us if it's all really going to be on rest upon us? Now, I'm not saying just anything goes can go. I'm just saying that there is a trust and confidence that we have to have and a belief in him that he is friendly and he is sticking closer than a brother. And even in the decisions that we don't make correctly and the things we'd like to make right but we don't make right, he knows how to work all those things together for good. Right? Abraham is our example today. The Bible says that Abraham, it was counted unto righteousness because Abraham believed God. He is a man, a father of faith, right? Now, a lot of times we think, and I've preached this and I've had to back and repent, that the reason Abraham had faith was because he was ready to sacrifice his own son. And that called him to be faith. That wasn't what Hebrews chapter 11 says. What it says was that it had nothing to do with the sacrifice, even though it goes on to talk about the faith in him willing to do it. The faith that Abraham had was hearing God, going out and stepping out, looking for a city where the builder and maker was God, and he had no frame of reference of what it looked like. He was in a place of security and comfort, and God told him to step forward and go out of that place of comfort and take the people that are with him that are close, his family, and get out of there, take the cattle, take everything else, and go. And when you go, I'll show you when you get there what it looks like. So that was the step of faith that made Abraham a man of faith. Now, when Abraham stepped out, and you can look at Abraham's journey, he went on to make Isaac a sacrifice, and here's what he did. God said, take your son, your only son. The problem was, Abraham had a son. His name was Ishmael. So you can't dish Ishmael to give him Isaac, because Isaac was his only son, his firstborn son, from the promise, right? So anything that's birthed from the flesh, God discounts. Amen? So anything that you might have done in your life or made a bad decision, God will discount. He will turn your bad decisions into your future good ones. Oh. Abraham has Isaac. Two generations later, his great-grandson, Joseph, is getting thrown in prison. Or he's getting sold into slavery. Guess who buys him? The Ishmaelites. If there wasn't Ishmaelites, there wouldn't have been Joseph going to Egypt, which put Joseph in a position in Egypt to save an entire nation several years later. So God took Abraham's fleshly, put it in my own hands, make my own decisions, do things I think is right, his own works and effort, that he created a monster for himself. He had consequences with it. It causes pain. It does. There's no question about it. Your actions create choices that create actions, create problems, and your problems create your situations, and you get pain with all that stuff. But even in the pain, even in the bad decisions, even in the marriage that didn't work out then, and here you are in another one, even the job that you lost then, even when you didn't do all right then, even when you were in that situation then, even when you were an addict then and you did this, that, all of that, even though it caused pain, it does when you birth things in the flesh. God will discount that when you begin to walk in the Spirit, and he will take all the bad decisions that you made then and he will turn those out to for your good as you're being led by the Spirit now. You have to trust that, because Isaac was the son, and God said to him, Abraham said, we're going up to the mountain for the sacrifice. I always thought that he was a man of faith because he was willing to sacrifice his own son. But he said to Isaac, God will provide himself a sacrifice. Abraham spoke prophetically, because what he was really saying is himself. Yeah, because see, Isaac saw that there had to be something that was already existing. That if I already know what it's like to take things in my flesh because I created an Ishmael, right? He already had an Ishmael 13 years before Isaac. So he knew what it was like to take matters in his own hands. This time he was smarter. So when he went up on that mountain to make a sacrifice, Isaac looks at his dad and says, look, Dad, where's the sacrifice? But Abraham was a man of faith because he stepped out to look for a place that he didn't know what looked like. All he knew was what he was capable of, because he had representation of that as Ishmael all around him, right? So when he gets to that place here, Isaac looks at him and says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He says, Isaac, this is, I'm paraphrasing, he says, Isaac, I've been here before. I know what it's like when God tells me to do something and I have no idea how it's going to happen. And you're an example of that. I got a promise from the father, Isaac, and he told me that I was going to have a son through Sarah, your mother. And you weren't around, and nothing was happening, and it didn't look like in the natural it was going to happen. And I looked around to see how can this be when there was no other way it could be. And I needed something supernatural. I needed a miracle to take place, and I didn't know what to do. And me and your mom panicked, Isaac. And we created this thing ourselves. And that's your brother, Ishmael. And I know what it's like to take matters into my own hands and create a mess. And I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know this. I am not taking my hands and putting it on this one. So, Isaac, I guarantee you God will provide himself a sacrifice. All I'm going to do is be obedient to what he told me to do. He said, offer you as a sacrifice. So either if I do, he has to raise you up, or he has to stop it because I'm not creating an Ishmael again. Ain't happening. I've already touched it once. I know what it's like. So I have confidence in him that I have created. I know what I'm capable of, Isaac. I know what I'm capable of creating something that looks like the sacrifice, but it's not really the sacrifice. I know what I can convince myself and others that it's the right thing, but it's really not the right thing. So what I'm going to do, Isaac, son, I'm trusting him that if he told me to do this, he must have a plan that's bigger than me. If I'd have waited before, Isaac, I wouldn't have to deal with some of the consequences I've had to deal with in the last 13 to 14 years. But I did, and here I am. But I'm not going to repeat that same mistake again. So Isaac, get on the logs. Get on the fire. It's happening. And all of a sudden, when he put his hands back, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, stay your hand. And the Bible says that the ram was behind him. The sacrifice was behind him. What he needed as the sacrifice was behind him. Behind him. It wasn't in front of him. Behind him. He looked back, and the frame of reference was the ram that took the place of Isaac. And all of a sudden, Abraham's eyes opened up and said, this is Jehovah Jireh. This is where vision takes place. So, in other words, I don't have to look ahead to see provision. I got to know provision comes from behind me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus made himself friendly. And he sticks closer than a brother. And he laid his life down for us. And instead of looking for traps along the way, and mistakes and setups and mistakes and setups, and man, this is not working the way I think it should work, I got to trust that faith isn't just putting him on the altar and doing obedient things. Faith is stepping out, going to a place that you have no frame of reference of, looking for a place of life when the Lord says, I want you to do this, and I want you to be here, and I want you to engage in that, and I want you to make a commitment here, and I want you to sow at that, and I want you to give up this, and you're looking, and you have no frame of reference, and you step out, and you have to trust that when you get in the middle of that situation, when it doesn't look like it's going to work, and you're all alone, and nobody's understanding it, and when you're looking at this thing, and you've got this torn inside, you have to still go forward with what God tells you to go forward with, because if you step forward, it'll always point back 2,000 years ago on the cross. So your confidence is not in your current situation. Your confidence is what he did 2,000 years ago that gives you the belief in him that he's working all things together for your good decisions and your bad decisions, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs. That way, when you see yourself in a situation when everybody around you is doubting you, And you're even doubting yourself, going, oh, my Lord, what is happening here? I don't see how this is going to work. You have to trust that 2,000 years ago, the same ram that was behind Abraham is the ram is Christ that's behind you. And he is going to turn your situation in your favor. And let's say you make a bad decision. Let's say you go, I buckled under the pressure and I shouldn't have done that. And he was trying to get you to wait and you didn't wait. Or he was trying to get you to go and you didn't go. The Bible says that God told Abram to go look for a city he didn't have a frame of reference. He didn't say go north. He didn't say go east, south, or west. He said go. Just go. And when you don't know what else to do and you have no frame of reference, but you've got an unction on the inside of you that says go, you have to trust that the ram that was in the thicket for Abram is the same ram that was in the thicket for you, and he's not going to let you fail. And when it doesn't look like it's turning out your way, and the report comes back different than you were hoping for, or the people that you thought were for you have you seen now are against you, or his attitude isn't changing, or the kids are growing up rebellious, you have to know they're subject to your belief in the ram in the thicket. You have to know that. Because life is a journey, and there are going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be ins and there's going to be outs. But in consistency and constancy in the whole thing, is not up to you to show yourself friendly. It's up to him to show himself friendly to you. And what kind of friend would trap you and trick you and set you up and hold a carrot before your nose and try to get you to go along just to hope you get your life going forward and finally trap you into a place? No. That's not who the friend is. A friend tells you what he's doing before he's even doing it. He lets you on some inside information, right? See, the worshipers, the guys that were at the bottom of the hill, the servants at the bottom of the hill, when Abraham was going up with Isaac, asked him, so where y'all going? We're going up to worship. We'll be back. We will be back, he said. Abraham had a confidence because he had a friend. His name was Christ. God the Father was Abraham's friend. Abraham knew that he was so friends with God that even though he went up there and had to do what he thought he had to do, he had so much confidence in his friend that his friend had everything he needed, and his friend wasn't going to let it go down that way. Do you have the confidence in God that he is so much for you and so much in your corner, that he is so much your very best friend, that it's his job, his responsibility, he said it, I didn't, to show himself friendly for you? And when things are falling apart, it can't be God bringing things to fall apart for you, because it wouldn't be a friend. And when sickness hits your body, or somebody betrays you, or the financial situation pulls out from under your rug, or the kids just fall apart, or the marriage just seems stressful and it's just going down the tubes, it can't be him, because he's a friend that's for you, that sticks closer than a brother. Why would he lay his life down for you and then take it back from you? He wouldn't. You can trust him, and you can believe him. These are foundational points. This has to be what we build our life on. We have to have a God view, a Father view, and a world view through a lens before we ever start trying to live out the epistles that Paul wrote. Because if you try to live out the epistles that Paul wrote through acts of works and obedience, which is what good works, without the proper foundation, you will find yourself going towards the things of God like Abraham did, but missing the foundation that Abraham had. And then get frustrated and get right in the middle of your situation and become double-minded because you're wondering, is this God? Is this me? Or is this the devil? Can I tell you there was no mention of the devil from Abraham going up to the mountain, offering the son and the ram in the thicket? No mention of Satan anywhere in that passage of Scripture. In today's time, if we fast forward to that, we would have it either all on God, all on Satan, or all on the person. How about this? How about it was a pictorial of Abraham's faith in God, that he already received righteousness by his act of stepping out into a place that he never knew what even existed. God is mobilizing you in your life today. You're not in a place where we've ever been before. You have history. You have credits from history. You have things in your past that have been ingredients and experiences that have brought us to the place of where we are right now, individually and corporately, as the entire body of Christ. That's where we are. He's not going to ask us to sacrifice the things that are close to us. He's not going to ask you to abandon your family to get close to Him. Okay? He's not going to ask you to abandon the things He puts in your life to show your proof how much you love Him. He's not going to do it. He's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get it to you. And what He's trying to get to you is the faith and trust in Him that He is working for you even when you can't even see Him working for you. I'm on a quest to eliminate Jesus in the lineup at the police department of all the things that have gone wrong. He shouldn't be in the lineup going, was that him that did it? Was him the perpetrator? Was he the perpetrator? Oh, there's Jesus. Jesus is not a perpetrator. Jesus is not someone that's bringing stuff on you to teach you a lesson. He's not. Are we okay with this?
Oh, yeah.
Life's a journey. And when blows come, and they do, when situations happen and they knock you off balance and knock you on your face and you're going, you can't be crying out to God like He brought it on you. And even if you brought it on yourself, all you have to do is remind Him of Ishmael. He will have to repent to you. This is big. God would have to repent to you if He didn't give Abraham consequences and didn't kill Abraham for his mess on Ishmael. God took Abraham's mess that He created with Himself because God honored the fact that he stepped out and went to a city, towards a city that he didn't know what was. God will take your good intentions if you make a bad decision in good intentions and turn it out for your good. Does that make sense? He will take your bad decisions, your bad choices, if they have good intentions in faith because it's towards Him. Step towards Him and let the chips fall where they may. And if they fall, He picks them up, puts them into your future, and makes it all work together for your good, and somehow what you thought was going to take you out is going to take you in. We okay? This is reality. Because life is coming and life is hitting us hard. And blows are happening. And we've all made some serious mistakes. And some of us still have some serious mistakes to make. But if we're stepping towards faith, in faith, towards the city that the builder and maker is God, that means we're looking for the things that God has told us to look for. Even if you mess it up, He will turn it out for your good if it's in faith. Are we okay with this? We've got to mobilize a group of people. A body has to be mobilized. We have to come out of the manger. We have to come out of the stable. And we have to come out of our isolation as a body of Christ. But what we have to be careful of is that we don't come out in fear and suspect of Him. We have to come out with reckless abandon with all of Him. And knowing that He's working everything. So you look back and you go, God, I wish I hadn't done that 10 years ago. Promise you, what you did 10 years ago was terrible. But what that 10 years ago then, when you're stepping out in faith towards Him, it will come back around in your future and it will work for your good if you're stepping towards the city and the property and the builder and the city of the maker is God. Amen. You see what I'm talking? The land, not the physical land, the landscape of your life as He is pulling you and drawing you into a place that your heart has yearned for years and years and years, but you've never experienced it in its fullness. This is the time where the people of faith step out in faith, not worried about the bad decisions, not worried about future bad decisions, but our intentions, our hearts fixed on Him, and we're moving forward in reckless abandonment, knowing that everything that I'm going in good intentions towards Him, if it backfires in my face in the moment, it has to come reappear in my future and work for me and not against me. It has to. Otherwise, He has to apologize to Abraham and Ishmael. He has to go to them and say, guys, look, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Jesus, your ram is in the thicket, guys. Did you know what that means? You can come from a place of confidence now and belief in him that he's not. Somebody in here has a daughter and they're dating a guy and maybe even married to the guy that you're not approving of. And you've done everything you know to do because you're so afraid it's going to progress into something that's going to be past the point of no return. I just heard the Lord say that. All right? If you can trust the ram in the thicket from where you were, even though they're not making the right decision now, if you can rest and settle on the belief in him as your friend, it'll work in your favor in the future. Relax. Don't try to control it in the flesh. Let your spirit rest and walk in it and let it work for you, not against you. That makes sense? I'm telling you, this is real stuff. Because we're moving from a place. My whole goal today is to you to know that stuff happens. Life, man, it throws you curveballs. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not so good. It rains on the just and unjust. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. All right? It is. It's just sometimes it is. And you can't be up all the time. You can try, but let me know how that works for you. All right? But sometimes you just feel like life's just getting the best of you. But if you can reach down on an anchor on the inside of you, knowing that he's your friend, and he's made himself friendly to you, and that's his responsibility. And if things come at you in life that are not friendly, you have to know they're not from your friend. And when you get your back up against the wall, the first thing you're doing is looking for somebody they can talk to that's your friend. So you pick up the phone. You call your parents, you call your sister, your brother, your kid, whatever you got who is close to you, and you go, gosh, I need some comfort. I need someone to hear me out here. You got to know he's your friend. Not only does he have your future, he's got your back. Abraham looked behind him and saw the ram in the thicket. This making sense? He's got your back. He's got your front. He's your friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's working all things together for good. Let's go get this thing. Let's go do this thing. Take a risk. Step out. Apply for it. Call him. See what happens. Well, I don't want to take it in my own hands, though. I just want to be cautious. I want to make sure it's God telling me to go. If God opens the door, walk through it. If God tells you to, here's a key, put the key in the lock. Unlock it. If God says, do this, do it. Why? Because you're looking for a city, and the builder and maker is God. If your intentions are for him and you're looking for him and the fact that you're even considering his consideration for a friend, as a friend, he's not going to steer you wrong. And trust that if he slams the door in your face, the friend says something he sees that you don't see in your future. And if he brings up something that you did 10 years ago and it's come back around in your front and you're going, man, I'm still reaping the consequences. Just know that there's a ram in the thicket. That's him that is now freed you. And if it comes back around in your future, it's because he wants you to walk through that door, and it has to work for you and not against you. He will never take a past mistake and push you back in time. He will take a past mistake and accelerate you to your future and destiny and promise every time. Ishmael, he took it in his own hands. What'd he do? He took it with his own hands. And he's looking at the consequences of his own decisions. And he says, man, what do I do? He didn't know that he was going to have a son named Isaac and then have a son named Jacob. And Jacob was going to have 12 kids and going to have a son named Joseph. He didn't know his great-grandson, after he had passed on, went all the way and was betrayed by his brothers. He didn't know that they were going to get thrown in a pit and all of a sudden, Reuben and all of them said, let's don't kill him, man. Let's sell him to these guys that are coming down the road. Who's coming down the road? It's the Ishmaelites. Wait a minute. I can just imagine Abraham watching this thing from a distance, going, and God giving him the narration, going, Abraham, see those people right there? See those descendants? There's your great-grandson. He's in the pit. Yeah, there's your other great-grandson. He's throwing him in the pit. It's not good, is it? No, not good at all. But see, I got this one up here coming down the road that you don't even know. You remember all those sorrowful nights that you laid in bed at night thinking you wish you hadn't have done it? Yeah, I wish you hadn't done it either, but you did. And you know that you took that in your own hands and you created a whole mess for your own life, for a situation and season. Do you see how I'm able to redeem that, Abraham? I'll redeem it long after you're gone so your kids don't have to deal with your past mistakes. I'll redeem it in a way that I'll put your grandkid, your great-grandson, and your great-grandson down here, and I'll put them down there in a place where they won't know they're working together for the good, but I'll put them in a place that I'll move this young man. Watch this, Abraham. I'm going to bring this boy out of here, sell him to somebody that was your mistake. They're going to transport him to a place. There's a famine going to happen in about 20 years, and they're going to put him in a place, and I'm going to relocate an entire people, a whole nation, an entire nation. I'm going to relocate them and mobilize them, and I'm going to use your mistake to get him there. What do you think of that, Abraham? How does that work for you? How does that work? And Abraham, you know what he's thinking? My God, Sarah, get over here. Look at over here. Get over here. Look at this. And you know Sarah's weeping and crying, and Abraham's high-fiving Sarah and all the different things that are happening. And there's Isaac going, my God, Dad, do you remember? I thought I was going on the logs. I thought I was the sacrifice. And Abraham says, no, Isaac, don't you remember? The ram, it was behind us. What? Yes, I remember. Do you know what they're saying down there right now? They don't even know it right now. There's Joseph and the Ishmaelites, and there's Reuben, and there's all the sons and the tribes of Israel. They don't realize it, but they think they put Joseph on the altar. But what they don't know, Isaac, what they don't know, Ishmael, is behind them, three generations, is a ram in the thicket. God, your friend, was working all things together for good. So when that all culminates into one place, and Joseph raises up to be the mighty man of God that he was, and an entire generation and family come, and a nation come in Egypt in the middle of a famine, Joseph, undisclosed at the time, looks and sees his family, tears running down his face, and he sees his father. And his father comes and says, man, I loved you. I had a coat of many colors for you. You knew me as the father, and I knew you as my son. And somewhere beyond us, your grandfather made a bad decision. It was a real bad decision. He took matters into his own hands, and he created a mess for himself. But Joseph, do you not know how you got where you are? You got here because of his mess, that the ram paid the price to redeem his mess for a generation of people. I've redeemed them from the curse of the law. And what the Lord is telling this generation on the earth today, yes, there's been mistakes. We've screwed up. We've messed it up. We haven't done everything right. But he's positioned us and relocated us into a place and time where the city and builder and maker is God, and the foundation is upon him, and your intentions are right. Your intentions are for him, and he's going to work all things together for good. He's going to redeem all your past mistakes and work it for a future generation, that the world will know that he is the Father and he is our friend. He's not against us. Stand to your feet. I bless these people. The Holy Spirit, you have done your work. You have went into the fiber and the fabric of their being. And I say, God, I can't add to it. I can't leave with these people, but your Spirit is. And I say, in the name that's above every name, in our ram that was caught in the thicket, our friend that sticks closer than a brother, our friend that makes himself friendly, you, the Christ, the Son of the living God, I bless our people and our friends in Jesus' name. I bless them in Jesus' name. I bless them. I call them blessed coming, and I bless them going. I bless their intentions. I bless their decisions. I bless their choices, and they're going to trust you that all things work together for the good that are called, that love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people shouted amen. Amen, 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 amen. Any word? Nothing at all? No? Okay. I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm sorry. We're going to Prestonsburg, Kentucky tonight. We're going to launch a church. Expressive Church of Prestonsburg. And if you guys have the TuneIn app, I know many of you can't be there, but if you download an application on your smartphone, it's called TuneIn on 92.3 Ignite FM. We're going to broadcast it live tonight at 6:30. Steph, many of our team is gone, and many of them are going to be breaking down and getting down there right away because it starts at 6:30. I want you to be in prayer because I did 3 interviews with 3 secular radio stations in that area. And by the time we got off the phone, all 3 of them, by the time we got off the phone, every one of them said, I got to hear more about this. They were all 3 people interviewed me were raised in church, raised knowing who God was, completely walked away. And I said the same thing to all 3 of them. Man, you walked away, but he didn't. He hasn't left him. If you got a wayward kid, a wayward person out there, his friends, family, and they're walking away, he hasn't left him. He has to make himself friendly and trust that you may not make every decision right, say everything right because you're just loving your kids and you're pulling them back. I know how that is. However, there is a friend that is a friend that we don't know how to be a friend to unless he shows us himself friendly. God will initiate a friendship with them through somebody or some way, and he'll draw them in. This is the year of the entire restoration and redemption, and mobilizing and discounting all the hurt so we can walk forward to the thing and the destiny that God's created for us. Father, bless your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you all.